Episode 211.
If I can say one thing out of anything out of marketing, is you have to track it. You have to know where your customers are coming from. You, in this day and age, you're spending so much money on CRM customer retention. You're spending it on acquisition. You need to know what's working really well, and where to put your money. And if you don't track it, it's a guessing game. You're totally out there going blind.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and thank you for listening to the premier automotive aftermarket podcast, Remarkable Results Radio. And welcome to episode 211 with Judy and Dana Haglin from Haglin Automotive. The episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. For serious technical training and support, online, on-site, and on-demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. I love doing these interviews for you. I'm privileged every time I sit behind the mic. I'm excited and engaged over every interview because the success stories from our guests can trigger ideas or actions within you. And that is what makes listening worthwhile. When you distill it down, every guest is telling their story. How many times are you afforded the opportunity to get a chance to ask industry peers to give you their success story or their view of how they see the world around them? Therefore, I appreciate you as an engaged partner, wanting to learn as much as you can about our beloved industry and for your professional and personal growth. Hey, here's thanking my newest Facebook friends, Chad Strange, Greg Bunch, Colleen McClue, and Jamie Carlson, and to my new LinkedIn connections, Guillermo Molina, Julie Aikida, and John Riccati. Hey, don't hesitate to come on board to my LinkedIn or Facebook pages, and I'm also on Twitter and Instagram. Would you like to get in on the new episode email? Just text the word REMARKABLE to 33444. Follow the prompts, and you're in. Hey, don't forget to get total immersion into the podcast by having our app icon on your phone. In your iOS or Android app store, just type in Remarkable Results Radio and download. Within about 2 minutes, you'll have all the episodes right at your fingertips. Now meet Judy and Dana Haglin from Boulder, Colorado. They own Haglin Automotive. Judy and Dana have been on my short list to interview, and as fate would have it, we met at Vision 2017 in Kansas City, and we sat for an interview. Together and separately, Judy and Dana have been honored many times as outstanding business leaders, in 2015 as the Motor Age Top Shop, and Dana was honored as the ASE TechNet Master Technician of the Year in 2013. Many people wonder how a husband and wife can work together and stay married for 36 years. Well, Judy and Dana explain their chemistry and how they make it work. They say it's not always nirvana, and they work at it with certain rules they've implemented to make their working together so well. Judy is a marketer. Dana is responsible for the shop, technicians, and work quality. They both share their passion for their strength in the business. Hey, the interview is informative, fun, and a lot to learn from this progressive shop that is out front with technology, culture, marketing, and customer growth. Get the show notes and additional bio information on the Haglins at remarkableresults.biz/E211. Now, here we go with Judy and Dana Haglin from Haglin Automotive. Now, listen for the very different introduction.
Hello, we're live at Vision 2017. This is Judy Haglin. I have Carm here in the studio with us, and we are going to be talking to my husband and myself about my shop in Boulder, Colorado, Haglin Automotive.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction, Judy and Dana, and it's so great to have you here, the 2015 Motor Age Shop of the Year. So let's go back a couple of years and tell me about that great honor that you had and how that all came about.
We were very honored to receive that award. We've been working towards making our shop the best it can be for a number of years. I think that there's so many shops out there that are doing such a great job that to be awarded that was very special.
Excellent. A lot of notoriety. Did it change your shop in any way, change your business?
Yes, getting the award was great. Changed the culture in our shop. All of our technicians and front staff was very excited that we have this article. We're one of the best in the nation And that's something to be very proud of. We still have our magazine sitting on the counter, and Jay shows it to everybody that comes in and talks very proudly of who we are and what we're about.
You mentioned culture, Judy. More and more entrepreneurs that I talk to are just saying, we've been all about culture, or we've made changes to be a company with big and better culture. We realize that our people need to come first. And when I take care of my people, they're going to take care of our customers. Give me the evolution of where culture came from, how many years you've been focusing on it.
Well, we've been in business for 36 years, so certainly starting out, it was me. So my culture was easy. I just had to work.
Right.
And as we've added employees and then added better employees, and then the shop has grown, and then we've outgrown those employees and needed better employees. And then how do you keep those employees? How do you make them want to work for you and have an environment that isn't a sweatshop yet? It's, you know, productive. So it's been a ongoing thing.
So is it about family, really building a family culture inside the business?
It is about family, and it's also about treating our customers like family and treating our employees like family, and family does come first. I know that we're with ATI, Automotive Training Institute, and we listened to Chubby at a super conference one year, and he talked about culture and what do you need, and there's core values that you need to create, and that really gets you to set exactly who you are on paper, and then you're able to explain that to your employees. So we have ones that are do it right the first time, bring it every day, treat everybody like family. It's on the wall, printed.
I love it. It's on the wall. Some people talk, we have got a great culture here. Well, the ones that literally take it and write it and preach it and coach to it every day really makes the difference. Those are the ones that really say, we have culture.
Exactly. And we have one that says everything speaks. So it's from Disney, the book by Snow, Dennis Snow. And he talked about you don't see Cinderella smoking a cigarette, or you don't ever see Mickey Mouse talking. You don't see them appear and disappear when you're in the village. That's what you need. Everything speaks. Pick up the trash, speak good, talk and say hello to every customer that walks through if you're within a couple feet.
I've been to the Disney Institute a day and a half of them. It was just a short thing. But I remember them saying we worked for days to come up with our customer service philosophy. And at the end of the day, it was look them in the eye and smile. You would imagine that comes from Disney, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What else did you learn about, you know, the Disney book that you've adopted to your business?
That everything speaks, and that you don't always think about what you have and where you have it and why it's there or should it be there. And looking at that and making sure that you don't have trash or the leaves blown out front or the things that just happen in normal life, and just walk past it every day. You've got to pay attention.
That very simple thing of where do your employees smoke? Not where your customers can see them.
Exactly. When I was there and we had a walking tour, not only did we have classroom and a walking tour, but we went underground. And as they were taking us through this entire Disney experience, the thing I walked away was that everything that they did was on purpose. And I think that's what you're describing, Dana.
Exactly.
Is that, you know, they said when you come around the corner and you see the magic, you know, the castle, it's designed to be like that. It's designed to, you know, give you that impression. And, you know, the whole story about trash and how Walt transformed the trash can business and, you know, how easy it was to put the trash in the can. And so if you run a business on that level of detail, so I'm assuming you guys are high in processes and systems?
Yes, but also that you get their input from that. So a good example for us was we had, before we went electronic inspections, we had it on paper. And one of my lube techs came up and said, this doesn't make sense. It's not in the right order. And I said, okay, Phil, what do we do? He says, well, we need to fix it. And I said, okay, great. It's on a spreadsheet. Let's make it. So now it's test drive, under hood, under car. It flows very well. And then we went to electronic inspections. We took that exact same those exact same steps, and that's how our electronic inspection form works.
So you went to digital vehicle inspections.
Yeah,
yes.
What, 3 years ago?
Three years ago, yes.
And who are you with?
Bolton.
Great. One of the best things you've done with technology?
Yes, it marries very well with Mitchell.
Mitchell. So mm-hmm. SMS is Mitchell. And what are the customers saying about the results of their inspection when they get texts and they get pictures?
They're impressed. Nothing like being at the work office and all of a sudden getting a text from your automotive shop saying, hey, here's my list. I think the magic behind that inspection form is that when you text it to a customer, they get it on their phone, which is very personal, versus their email, which is business. They look at all the things that you have, good, bad, ugly, and everything with the pictures. We require 5 pictures per inspection. They're selling themselves and thinking about all those things before we have an opportunity to even call them. So what our service staff is seeing is that when we do follow that procedure and text it out to the customer, they're actually on board and they're seeing that their average ticket is actually higher.
They've had an opportunity to see the inspection. So when the service writer calls, they're asking questions about their car rather than having to be told about their car and having to, you know, set them up with that need. They already have the need.
It starts to be a two-way conversation right away.
Exactly.
So you send out the recommendations and the pictures, and CEO says, listen, I don't want to do that right now. And that's okay. It maybe isn't a critical safety issue, but you found something that they needed to have done. How soon after does that that ingrains on them and says, you know what, let me go back in 2 or 3 weeks and get it done. Are you getting a lot of recalls from work that was dismissed?
That goes back kind of the marketing question I am passionate about marketing. Yeah. And one of the marketing pieces we have found is that within 20 or 30 days after someone's been in, we send out a recommended repair on some of those jobs and things that they didn't do. Then we get a lot of people that are calling in and actually scheduling it at that point. The other big selling point is we had an example of a ball joint that was just not safe. And he said no on the phone. So I went out to said to my tech, I said, we're going to pull it off the rack. They're not doing it. And he goes, yeah, but Judy, it's not good. Look. And I went, great. Let me videotape it. So I videotaped it. Customer came in. I said, I just want to show this to you. The car is out ready to go for you. Let me show you. And I showed it to him, and it had a lot of movement. And I said, so it has a lot of movement, doesn't it? And he goes, yeah. He says, that doesn't look very safe. I said, well, it's not going to fall off right away, but something you should probably address and think about it. The next day, he called back and said, Judy, I need to get that in.
He slept on it.
He did.
And he realized.
And a picture's worth 1,000 words. Video's even better.
How good is that? Dana, so you're handling the tech side and working with your team, coaching. You know, it's great to have a husband and wife. I'm, first of all, delighted that you're here. And I've only done a few other husband and wife teams in tandem at the same time. The role that you play in the business, give us some details on it.
I take care of kind of the back of the shop. Judy does the front. Together we make one really good person and business owner. So I take care of the technicians to make sure that we're doing quality repairs, to answer their questions, to keep them on the right track. Because every now and then they'll get off on this is what's wrong, and I'll make them think about it. Ask the questions. What are you really seeing? What was that all about? What information do you need to go find to make that decision that you've, put up front for the customer that he needs this? Are you sure? That type of thing.
So, are you the last person they would go to, or are they going to you first and saying, Daddy, help me with this?
Well, they used to come to me first. We read the 1 Minute Manager Meets the Monkey. Actually, our coach from ATI said, you need to read this because they're depending on you too much. And by doing that, the first steps were give them the next step to do. Instead of go do this or going out and doing it for them, I say, go look it up, go check that, that type of thing. What is the next step? And then we've even gone as far now, we have a list, we have a sheet that we have. If before you come up front or to one of the ATECs, in the back for help, if it's one of the lower techs, you need to check IETN, Identifix. You need to make sure you look it up on Alldan and find out, what the procedure is. What are you really looking at? Are there any TSBs? What information can you get before you come up and ask for help? So that way they're learning, they have information rather than come up, this is broken, I don't know how to fix it. They've already checked the things that at least they can check so that you can then talk that over and then send them back to run another test or whatever is required.
Are you in the office? Are you on the shop floor?
I'm mostly in the office.
So you've scaled yourself out of the business, but will you go in hourly basis and just look things over because you can instantly see where there may be snags or problems?
What I'll do is whether it's an hour or every half an hour or 4 hours, it just depends on the day. I'll walk through the back, check on everybody, make sure that everything's going well.
But you're Oz. You're the guy behind the curtain. If they need help, you're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he makes the magic happen.
That's cool. I like that. He makes the magic happen. I'm talking with Jonathan Jacquelli, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. So, Jonathan, how does a service professional get the guru on the go van to their shop?
There's a couple ways. We do what we call cold calls, where we go around and just visit shops based on geographics. And there's also times where we team up with outside sales reps from other parts distributors and visit the shops on that basis.
So I love this. You pull into a shop on a cold call, they see the van, and they're probably excited to see you.
Yeah. I've had a couple shops where they've actually have already heard of the Gurus via Facebook or social media. So when I show up, they've already been signed up and taken online classes, and now that the van's there, it's really easy to book a lunch and learn.
So you're really an extension of the Garage Guru training centers.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're all done with your lunch and learn. You spend 45 minutes to an hour. Probably that's all you can really get from a busy, busy shop. What are the technicians saying about your shop visit?
Oh, they love it. They thank me, you know, every second I'm walking out the door and just can't wait for me to come back again.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the Gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. Oh, by the way, training. I did have some follow-ups for you. How many hours a year are you getting training for your techs?
Well, we pretty much mandate or recommend 40 hours a year at least. We are involved with CTI through Advanced CarQuest. Actually, we were an early adopter on that. I was talking to Chris Chesney, who developed that. And it was 98 or 99 when they started that. And he was in Colorado. We were kind of one of the beta test areas. And I was going to class as soon as that was available. So I've known Chris forever. And we've kept that up. And it's a great way. There's 6 classes a year that the techs go to. And we keep up with technology. And the techs continue to learn. It's not necessarily about what the class is that month. It's more about their thinking and their learning and continuing to expand.
Are you tracking every course that your team is going through so you can evaluate where their weaknesses and strengths or what they may need to be refreshed on?
Honestly, not directly, but it's not real difficult when you're working with the techs and you're seeing them every day and the questions that they're asking to know where they're deficient and what they need help with. It's pretty obvious pretty quickly.
Anybody come up to you and says, hey, listen, we need a GDI class?
No, but what we did a couple years ago was decided that we needed some entry-level type information because the CTI classes, and they're all varied as far as their levels, but we needed some entry-level basic information. So we actually got with Chesney, and he helped develop, and it's kind of a beta test again, where we have, instead of the other classes, which are 2 nights, Tuesday like Thursday, every other month, this is a 1-night class, and we only do 4 instead of 6, but it covers basic things, fluids and oils and electrical, basic
basic electric, level. I hear that a lot.
Yeah, I want to jump in here. They also have, with that beta program we're doing on their tax program, which is online courses. So there's some online courses they take ahead of time, and then we have the in-class instructor-led, and we're seeing if that really makes a difference, because there's a lot of online courses, and then there's still that instructor-led. And what is the best scenario and the best way for our people to learn?
What's the blend? What percentage of online versus the leader-led, instructor-led, 80-20, 60-40?
With the basic class, it's probably even, 50-50 okay. amount of time. So there's 50% of online.
And then they're also taking that to the next step, where because at least for us, they have the availability to get into a shop. One of the dealerships is giving us the space. Instructor actually works there. So they're able to get into the bay on the cars when they can.
Nothing like hands-on.
Yeah, it's always a good thing.
Wow. Have you ever offered your shop for an in-house training?
Yeah, we've actually done a couple of them.
Great.
Over the years.
Marketing. You mentioned marketing.
It's my passion.
What do you love the most about it?
It's absolutely ever-changing. We talked earlier today, if you had a good Yellow Pages ad, we've been doing this since 1991 now.
81.
81, rather. I should know that. We graduated college, got married, and started the business all in 3 months.
We were busy.
Oh, I'd love to hear
that
story.
We were very busy. That if you had a good Yellow Pages ad, and you had a phone, and you answered the phone, you were golden. It was great. That is so changed now. It's very different.
And then the next step was you just had to send out some reminders to your customers, and that picked things up. Now, with the internet, that online presence, Yellow Pages is gone.
For us, the evolution going from $2,000 a month on Yellow Pages to this unknown, what do we do now? One of the powerful things that I did early was I track things. That's if you can't track it, you can't manage it. I tracked all the marketing and what it brought in. And then when you're sitting across from that Yellow Pages gentleman and he says, well, let's up you to $2,250. And I'm looking, I turn around on my computer and said, I got three people in all year from you. I just don't think we're going to go there. It's very powerful to be able to have that data to turn to whatever program it is or whoever wants money from you saying, hey, it didn't come in. ROI is not there. We have found that marketing, having a great website, now it's responsive. The other new addition that we just added, because Google reviews are huge. There's a tipping point for us. When we reached 80 reviews, it totally changed it. We get 10 to 12 new customers a week based on our Google reviews, and our average ROI is $700 or $800 on those customers that come in.
There's a built-in trust because of the reviews that they already know you and trust you.
So I'm going to put a plug out for another new company that's out there. It's Podium, and they have a program that you text. You send them a text, comes from you with your shop information on there. It says, please give us a review. They click yes. It goes straight into Google if it's an Android phone or if they have it on iPhone. Otherwise, it goes to Facebook. 3 or 4 clicks, you're right there, 5-star review, and you get it.
I believe an episode that I did in late February or early March, a shop owner mentioned Podium. You had a great experience. You know this is going to be positive. You offered them the text, and all the magic happened below. It's called Podium.
It's pretty cool. We got 15 reviews in 1 week.
How many star?
5, all of them. You're asking the happy people most of the time to do those. It's good for the business.
You basically know how that reviews. I mean, you just know.
You do. And your service writers, they know all the good people. They know the ones that like them, where they've created that relationship. We're not selling stuff anymore. We're not order takers. We're fixing their problems.
We fix cars, but that's a secondary. You're solving the customer's problem. In the last couple months, we've mentioned this a number of times with our service writers. It's not, we can't work on that today. It's what do they need? Is the car broken down on the side of the road? Is it an apartment complex where they have to move it? Because if they don't move it tonight, it's going to get towed. That's their problem. They need to get the car fixed, but their pain today is, I need to get this moved. I need to make sure that we have the car by Friday so that my son can do whatever they need to do.
Life goes on. You are really in control of such a very big portion. We rely on transportation more than anyone can imagine in our world and in our lives. And give up my car for an hour?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I have to remind my techs every now and then that, you know, if you had to take your car in to get it fixed, what's the inconvenience to you? And they don't realize that always.
Back to marketing. You have a lot of choices. Are you using Facebook? Are you using Twitter? Other platforms to engage using any Facebook Live? Give me your scenario there.
With Facebook and with Google Plus as well, they're kind of two different. Google Plus, you're talking to really Google, and it's words, and it's what makes you relevant. Blogging is the same way. Facebook is a very different, it's social. I've taken the attitude that it is pretty much a conversation, except you're doing it online versus one-on-one, so we don't have a company that does it. We actually do it in-house.
Okay.
We're actually promoting one of our gals who was writing service. She's going to do a background set writing service, and she's going to start doing a lot of the marketing, creating videos. As someone said earlier today, that we loved this idea of we're going to do videos on all of our procedures. Love that.
Yeah, by the way, I'll just break the code here, which is so cool to find out some stuff in the background. We had an interview earlier today, and Judy sat in on it, and we were sharing some great ideas, and I shared the idea of a service manager that I had met yesterday who talked about putting all their procedures on video. It sounds like an immense amount of work, but I think the net result is just so, so powerful.
And that was a couple hours ago? So already we've researched on how to have a YouTube channel that's a private YouTube channel that we'll set up just for Hagelin Automotive's employees. And we're going to start setting that up.
Wow, you are passionate. You do rock.
Well, and not to make this an ATI plug, but probably 6, maybe 7 years ago, they had a contest for marketing. And Judy sent all of her things in, and because she tracks it and manages it, and so whatever five or six different sources of advertising, and then how many came in, what was our ROI, and so forth. There was a one-time contest. They decided nobody would ever else would ever win it. So she got the award that year. They've never done it again.
Yeah, it's pretty good, huh?
You shut it. You won and shut it down.
Won it and shut it down, yeah.
If I can say one thing out of anything out of marketing, is you have to track it. You have to know where your customers are coming from. You, in this day and age, you're spending so much money on CRM customer retention. You're spending it on acquisition. You need to know what's working really well, and where to put your money. And if you don't track it, it's a guessing game. You're totally out there going blind.
Are millennials exciting to you as an opportunity?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. We love our millennials. They get a bad rap. Every time we go to a training or whatever, they diss millennials. Most of our shop is millennials. That's what our team
but
is.
But millennials are the biggest opportunity out there. Why would... You know what? I do know what you mean about having gone to the seminars. I purposely went to some seminars in the last two or three years to hear the story on millennials. But the message was, here's how to sell them.
And I don't believe you sell anyone. I think that you offer the service and the need that they have.
That's really what I mean, and it was a poor choice of words, but you're right. Is it a different approach?
It's very different. There's a book out there, it's Boomers versus Millennials, and then you flip it, it's a flip book, and it's Millennials versus Boomers. Very fun book to read. It's by Simple Truths. They put it out, and it speaks about, I'm a boomer. This is what I'm about. This is how I was brought up. And then you flip it on the other side and say, I'm a millennial. This is what I'm about. And when you look at the two differences, you go, wow, that makes perfect sense.
And they're really not that much different. They just look at it from different perspectives.
A different perspective.
So your approach, what is your approach to gaining, obviously, what you're doing on the internet, keywords, and because they live in that digital world, has that been your entire focus?
As far as acquisition for customers, we're in a college town, so we do have to speak to the younger crowd.
Yes.
And that's one of the reasons with Rachel, she's 21, who's going to start doing some of the videos, and we're going to have her do blogs. She's connected. She's got it. She understands
it. She grew up with a phone.
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly. We grew up with one that was on the wall, attached to a cord that you had to go da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so it was, and nobody gets that.
When I opened the shop, I honestly had a rotary phone for the first year. I thought we were big time because we had call waiting.
Did you have a celebration when you got touched on?
I don't remember if it was a celebration, but boy, did we feel big.
Are you doing anything with the telematics add-on devices at all?
Not yet.
I'm looking at it.
All right.
I haven't decided exactly how to integrate it and how we're going to make it work for us,
all
but
right.
We will.
There's
absolutely
an awful lot of aftermarket pieces out there to plug in to build a marketing campaign around, but you're thinking about it.
It's coming.
I think the customers, while our younger customers will adapt to this very quickly, they're not quite ready because they don't understand it themselves. And as the OEMs offer more of that contact back and forth, that their car's talking to them, and therefore us as repair facilities, dealerships as well, can then talk to them about it so that all fits together and they understand it better, it'll make more sense for us.
Is it important to bring in an aftermarket connected solution so that you can break the umbilical cord to the OEs?
No, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that would be the number one strategy. And then I look at it as, won't the customer feel very much comfortable that you're on their team in a way bigger than ever?
Exactly. And continuing to gain that confidence and trust with the customer that you care about them and you care about their car, that it doesn't break down and that it's going to last longer because it's a huge expense.
Is it too much information? I've seen the portals. And know a little bit about these devices. Is it too much information to give the average consumer to go to their phone and see some data about their car?
Okay, how many little snackable moments that we call them that you're on your phone and what are you doing? You're going to Google and you're searching. Whether you're searching for how to do whatever, a podcast, How do you do it? What does it mean? How do you get people's attention? Where do you go? We just researched earlier, how do you make a YouTube channel so it's private, so only my employees can see? We researched that for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. So when you get that information on your car, you're looking that stuff up. We have, our customers are more educated now than they've ever been. Some people think it's a bad thing. You just need to understand that they're researching. When you talk about marketing and Google, they're saying that people go to 2 to 4 sources, educational sources, before they even start to look at where do they want to take their car, let alone what do they want done.
Well, it's good to hear that you're thinking about it. Where are you guys getting all your cool, neat ideas?
Automotive Training Institute, ATI, we've been with them for 10 years.
Okay.
And they're cutting edge. They keep you going. They keep you thinking. And then also coming to events like this.
So what's important about vision? It's great to see both of you here. Any of your techs were with you at all?
Don't have any techs. We have our service manager with us.
Your service manager. Oh, I met him earlier. Wow, what a fun guy.
He is.
Ooh, he's off the charts. He is. A lot of fun.
But we did, ASA had a training.
ASA Colorado.
Colorado had a training in Denver that actually Judy helped put on. And we had all of the whole shop there for that.
So you put it on. Are you involved in ASA Colorado?
Yes, I'm on the ASA Colorado board.
Ah.
And I volunteered to be the summit committee chair. And
we put on our own little vision.
Yeah. Our own little vision, our mini vision.
Oh, your mini vision.
Our mini
yes.
vision. It's okay. A mini vision. We had doubled our attendance, and we also tripled how many sponsors and booth vendors that we had. We did it at Lincoln Tech Community College, which was, it's a fairly new facility. An amazing event. Lots of training, lots of networking. And I guess the power of, you know, learning all the time is that you get something no matter how many classes you go to, even if you've been to 5 or 6, how to write service, there's always something you can pick up and learn new.
Do you talk shop at home at dinner?
Of course. We talk shop too much. We do have a rule when it gets to be too tense that there's a road about halfway between the shop and the house and that we don't talk shop after that. Cross that road if we need to invoke that rule.
We call it our Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, okay, great. All right. So when we get by here, zip.
Right. Zip, yes. And we also
we have
a
change subject, talk about the yes. kids, you know, they do
okay.
exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had another rule as the kids were growing up. Our children are 28 and 30 now, but as they were growing up, if we talked about an employee more than we talked about our children,
must be time for a new employee.
Well, it must be time for a new employee.
It happens.
Then there are a lot of people that look at us and go, how do you do this 24/7? Together. And part of it is our personalities. I'm kind of the driver, the go-getter, yeah. that may let's make change. And Dana's the one that thinks about it, takes the time, says, okay, let's make the plan, and then we're good to go. So I speed him up, he slows me down,
wow.
and we're just right down the road.
And after we learned that, that helped considerably.
Yes. You know your roles, and then you finally figured out how to make those roles work. And how long into the business relationship and the marriage did it take to figure that out?
Well, 20.
Truly to understand it was after we were with ATI. They have what we call the bird test. And it's the same disc task or whatever, but they assign it to birds. And the eagle is the driver, and the owl is the thinker. The peacock is your salesperson, and the dove is 60% of the population that we just...
They make great customers. They're very concerned about everything being fair and that type of thing.
Right.
So I'm the owl, she's the eagle. There's times when that certainly causes conflict, but understanding that has helped yes. quite a bit.
Is technology exciting coming up?
Very. The CTI class that my guys are in this month... one guy goes to one place, the other guys go to the other place because of where it's closer to where they live, is all talking about Ford EcoBoost. So it's GDI. And all of the problems that is coming up from that with carbon and issues that Ford's dealing with, the instructor said there's a list of TSBs on that not reading what the TSB was, just the TSB, would take almost the whole class. So what that does for us is tells us that when these cars come out of warranty and we see them in the bay, and it's 4 to 5 years before we start to see the cars in our area. Some places are sooner, some later, but you know that 4 to 5 year range, and then that 10 year to the 10 year range is the sweet spot. We probably will be in business for at least another 10 years because the cars are going to have problems and they're going to need us to fix them.
just to tag on to that, many years ago, I don't know how many, Dana and I would always go, God, what are we going to do in 5 years? Cars are changing. Are we going to be able to still be in business? And one of them was when you went from carbureted cars to fuel injected cars.
Oh, my.
Scared the heebie-jeebies out of a whole bunch of people.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's changed. You figure it out. You adapt. You overcome. And then you can move.
Oh, I had technicians that didn't want to see a car that was fuel injected. They didn't understand it. It was, oh, my God. Now none of my technicians know what a carburetor is.
Oh, but there's a good story on carburetors. I have a young tech. He needed to take the carburetor off because we were going to do a carburetor rebuild. He's on Google doing videos on how to take the carburetor off. My service writer goes, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm trying to figure out how to take the carburetor off. He goes, well, let's go. Goes the car, undoes the full bolt, pulls it off, and away you go.
Cables, you know.
And it's done. He went, oh.
But that's how much they don't know that technology. But the new technology is not as hard. It's very interesting.
Very successful entrepreneurs are not afraid of the technology curve that's coming ahead. And here we're sitting at Vision. We're right on the edge of the exhibition hall. They just released from class. It is full of probably 1,700 people going through the 60,000 foot of display. And when I think about the beloved, vibrant aftermarket, which one of those computer makers and equipment makers are going to let technology make them disappear? It like nature finds a way, business finds the entrepreneurial spirit of our entire world that we live in is going to say, hey, wait a minute, this is a new Camismo valve, and how do we test it and how do we fix it? These people are probably, their strategic plans probably go out 10 years in order to take that challenge on.
Yeah, and you know what we have been using for years in a scanner, it's going to completely change. It's going to be all laptop. It's going to be all computer-based.
And cloud-based.
And cloud-based.
It's all going to be cloud-based.
Absolutely. It's interesting. Wow. Hard to keep up with, especially as we get older. Hate to say that.
That's how we stay young.
Oh, there you go.
Been in the business for 36 years, and we stay young with all of that because we have to keep up with technology.
I love what you just said. You know, it's just vibrant, staying young, staying vibrant. Anything holding you back right now?
Well, I think as an industry, and we certainly suffer from it as well, and while we have a great crew right now, that the technician shortage, and you can put that to the front of the shop as well. Service writers, we do not have enough training available for service writers to get that part of the shop in our businesses keeping up with the times. They have to keep up with the technology. They have to keep up with the millennials. All of these changes that happen and the training available, we're having a hard time finding not only the technicians but the service writers. So personnel in our shops, it's a problem for everybody.
You know, Dana, my next question was going to be, is there a technician shortage? And I think you're saying, yeah, but how are you guys going to plan your future around that?
We've been growing our own for years because there's no other way to do it. So you try to have at least one or two experienced guys, and then you bring in younger guys so that you can train them and bring them along.
Internships?
We haven't done an organized internship. We've actually just recently been talking about that. But I've been mentoring young technicians for years because it's easier to find a C and even a B tech than an A tech. And you can teach as long as they're willing to learn those techs, bring them along. As I was saying earlier, give them the next step, give them the next thing to look at so that you're not having to do it. You're bringing them and teaching them. So the next time the car comes in, they can do it. That's the only way we're going to overcome that in our bays. Long term, there's some other solutions that need to be done as well.
Well, I was just going to say, along with that, the shortage and everything else, we're also back to that culture question of who really fits in. So when we do an interview, let's say with a service writer, we'll sit down with them, Jay will actually sit down with them, and then we take them, give them the shop tour, and then my technicians talk to them. What do you know? What do you not know? And we leave them back there unattended, and they have great conversations. And that's when you know, when they'll come up afterwards, before the next interview, you talk with your crew and say, what do you think? Is he going to be a fit? Does he have enough knowledge? Are you comfortable with him? Will you trust him to sell what you have? Does he believe what we believe? All of those culture questions plays into it because we're not only looking at just who can fix cars. It's who can fix cars with our team to make the best thing that we can.
They can bring down their guard, you know, after 10 minutes with the person who's not interviewing them. You can see the real colors come out.
Absolutely.
And yeah, it's great that you're involving your team. Hey, what does success mean to you?
Staying married for 36 years,
Congratulations. That's cool.
Being able to build a house and still stay married.
Yeah, that was a
task. Wait
a
minute. I thought running the business was the biggest. Oh.
No.
Oh, no. The business is easy compared to that.
Really?
Oh, my. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Okay. But we had a rule. It worked very well.
And what was the rule?
The rule was that if I cared, if there was something that was bothering me that we needed to do something about, I'd speak up. Otherwise, it was fine.
And actually, that kind of transcends into kind of how we run the business. I'm the detail person. I'm the one that's driving it, making it go. And if he's good with it, we're all good. And I don't have to double check with him. He's like, great. But we both know that if there's an issue, he knows I'm going to speak up. This is not going to work, or I have an issue, or I have a question. And then we have those conversations. You don't stay married for 36 years. Business 24/7.
Bickering over little things.
You're the perfect combination made in Auto Care Heaven.
We are.
Auto Care Heaven. Wow.
I don't want to go there.
Listen, I just came up with that.
I will
trademark that.
I don't want to go to Auto Care Heaven. I think maybe Beach Heaven or some other heaven would be fine.
Yeah, what do you guys do to burn it off, relax?
Well, we do a number of things. We dive. Every year to 2 years, take a dive trip, so we're gone for a week. The really cool part about that, most of the time you're out where they can't get a hold of you. You're on a boat or you're on an island somewhere, so you're disconnected.
Do you go to the Caribbean? Where do you go?
Usually.
Okay.
And Dana's also got a private pilot's license, and we actually flew here from Colorado in our little Cessna 210.
I do cars all day, so I needed something different as a hobby.
Do I have to come to Colorado someday? Will you give me a ride up there?
Absolutely.
See those beautiful mountains?
Absolutely. You got to really twist my arm to get the airplane out. Yeah, it's tough.
It's hard.
Yeah, I bet you. Want to fly? Yep.
Yep.
Drop when are we everything.
Going? GW in at noon. We're going.
Part of the backstory is I've really read and followed your company, and we've chatted in the past. A couple of issues have prevented us, and it was great. I have to thank Barry Barrett for being out in the hallway yesterday and you guys stopping and looking at the posters that I had and coming in. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. I enjoyed the interview. I'm glad to call you a podcast alumni now because you've been an important interview I've wanted to get.
I know.
We've enjoyed it.
Important interview. And so finally, great wise words to live by.
Be honest and be honest with yourself. Customers see it. Your employees see it. Your family sees it.
Do you have a special saying?
I believe that you should always learn something new every day. Always try to stay on the cutting edge and enjoy what you do. One of my passions is mentoring and teaching. It's one of the reasons I'm with ASA Colorado, where I'm working with other women in the industry. I'm in a women's 20 group that I help facilitate. And my passion really is helping everybody learn something new every day.
Thank you, Dana, Judy, for being on the show.
Our pleasure.
Hey, aftermarketers, thanks for joining us. A great husband and wife discussion recorded at Vision KC 2017. Thank you, Judy and Dana Hagelin, for giving of your ideas and business strategies that have made you such a highly recognized job. Catch more information on the podcast on Judy and Dana's own show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E211. Any questions or comments? Email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head on over to the contact page on the website. Listen, I'm a person who links people that need and want knowledge in a way that's easy to digest in their day-to-day life. That's why you're here. So become an insider and get the newsletter announcing each new episode. Just text the word REMARKABLE to 33444, follow the prompts, and you are in. Hey, share this content-rich resource with your friend. There's a lot to go around. It's easy. Email the episode link, share my Facebook page, Twitter account, or LinkedIn connection. The richness grows because you help ripple the water. Hey, I'm grateful and thankful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.